And every week without our OTS Sports Network announcers. And we are getting a chance to catch up with a lot of these guys because our paths don't really cross in the football season. We work in the morning. Announcers like Matt Cray or Matthew Cray or Cray, he goes by three different names.
All of them.
Yes. You work at night. So our paths never cross except once a year.
Yeah, it's an entirely different world. You know, you're up in the bright hours of the day. Sometimes if it's a rain delay or if we're doing the end zone, we're not out of here till 12:30. So we'll high-five leaving as you come in.
That may or may not have happened for sure. But Matt, of course, is part of the secret sauce that makes up the OTS Sports Network. Matt, you're entering your 10th season?
Yeah, crazy, right?
That is unbelievable.
That is crazy.
You look like you should be in high school.
I know.
Not covering high school sports. Where you obviously got your start very young. What's the connection between getting involved with sports, getting involved with the OTS Sports Network? Kind of give us your back story.
So sports connection, I think I figured out pretty young. I'm like, I'm not that athletic of a kid. But there was a specific play, Clemson, Virginia Tech. It was a basketball game. And it was senior night, and they scored 5 points in like 10 seconds. And I remember listening to that broadcasting call. Shawan Robinson, Ford, and Babalola were the three guys who made plays, all three seniors. And I would just listen to it over to the point where I like memorized the play call. And I was like, that's pretty fun. So I think that kind of ignited the spark, if you will. Then I started working here as a board op for high school football. And then a week later, the news position opened up. And so I was like, oh, I need a job. Like, I'm right out of college. So I applied, you know, I had an in, if you will. So I got the news job. And then when they were training board operators for high school football, what they did in the back is we would simulate a game. So we put on a game, put on a headset, and would practice doing play-by-play. And I just asked if I could have a shot. Because, I mean, I knew I was pretty good or thought I was pretty good. And I was like, let me just see if I can weasel my way in to maybe get some play-by-play or color. And I guess I was good enough, so.
Wow.
That's great.
That's a great story.
Thanks.
Well, you're a great example. Once again, we've shared often of these same stories on this show. You get in at the entry level, might not be the ideal job, but you get your foot in the door. You work the hours that no one else wants to work. You don't complain. You put in your sweat equity. Someone notices you're the right place, the right time, and opportunity comes a knocking, and you're going to be the first one to open that door.
We talk about last one in, first one to leave. There was one night when I worked here at the station that I was doing news, and I accidentally locked myself out of the building because I had a new puppy and I had to take the puppy out to use the bathroom.
I've heard this story.
I left my keys inside. So there was no way to get back in. I had no keys. It was pretty late. So I had to sleep in my car.
Oh my gosh, remember Matt.
I didn't get back in until Charlie Derrick came in. And the next morning I was like, hey man, I need to get inside. I'm cold.
Matt, that story is still told to this day. I've heard that story by other folks. So at least people know your name for that story.
There you go.
No. Notorious.
Yeah. Well, you're very talented behind the microphone. Are you more play-by-play or color?
I like play-by-play. I think I can do both. I think I know enough about the game to do both, but I was never a coach or a player, so I'm not going to give you a bunch of A-gap, B-gap stuff, but I think I'm really good at taking something complicated and breaking it down to where something, you know, to simplify it to where someone can understand it. So I prefer the play-by-play side. I think it's because I both think and talk pretty quickly that it just comes more naturally, but I can do the color side as well.
And we'll hear you covering, for the most part, York, is that?
I've got a good bit of York, Indianland, and Clover. So it's a nice little mixture of those three teams this year.
A utility player. They can plug you in wherever.
Plug and play.
Where a lot of our OTS Sports Network announcers, they do kind of focus on one school, but that does not mean they're locked in at that school all season long because things come up. Mm-hmm. And so announcers have to be moved around and you have to be up to speed with that team and that team's history. You have to know the X's and O's. I mean, you all are getting a crash course in a couple of days when you have to switch around a lot. But that's why you're the best of the best.
Yep, and one of the things that is cool about high school football season that maybe is different from somewhere like the NFL, you know, we're doing our research, but there's not 24-hour news coverage. There's not fantasy football for high school. So I could tell you who the third string running back on the Texans is because I am a fantasy football degenerate. But high school, some of it, you kind of have to get the first few weeks and you're like, reassess, okay, this is what this team is. These are who these new players are. And you kind of learn as you go.
Well, we're not going to make you pick your favorite because we know that our announcers love all the sports teams. But of the teams you're covering this season, which team excites you? What are you looking forward to?
So I have a lot of information on York here that I can run through a few things. One of my favorite games I've called was Clover Dorman, the state semifinals, or maybe it was the upper state finals. So Clover has a special place because of that. And I know Clover and York are rivals, so maybe this doesn't gel. It's like when people in South Carolina are like, I cheer for both teams. And I'm like, no, you don't. York is a team this year. They're returning 10 starters, six of them on the offensive line, which I think is a really good thing. You want to build from the trenches out in football. You want to have good linemen. Last year, they were 2-8, which I'm going to say this, and it sounds bad. I mean, it is a good thing. That's the worst Dean Boyd has done as York's coach. So I say that to say I think this year is going to be better because most of the time he's been at York, he's hovered right about 500 or above. They were 1-5 in one-score games last year, which is a stat that can really flip records year to year. You get one fumble here. You get one first down there. Those losses turn to wins. You could have gone, instead of 2-8, maybe you're 5-5. Because one-score games and turnovers are something that can change really easily. Offense is something they're going to have to focus on this year. They didn't really score more than 21 points last year. And I'm sure that's something Dean Boyd is aware of. And they've got two quarterbacks, both of which are over 6'3", 200 pounds. So they're going to get those big quarterbacks behind those big offensive linemen. They're going to run the ball.
This is at York?
Yes.
And how big are their quarterbacks?
Tayshaun Freeman's the starter. He's 6'3", 225. The backup's name is, I'm going to butcher his last name. I have a 50-50 shot. Ryan Brucci, B-R-U-C-H-I. He's 6'5", 200 pounds.
And these are high school guys.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the backup is a sophomore.
In comparison, I'm the age that I am. I've been around for about four decades. I'm 5'7", and 155.
Do you think you could gain a yard in an NFL football game?
No.
1 yard.
No. You put the pads on, and then that slows me down even more.
Maybe if you have the Eagles offensive line, you could just fall forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could jump. You got hops. You can, like, jump over them. Maybe get 2 yards.
Those are grown men, like Ashley said, playing at the high school level. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really exciting to see such big quarterbacks play, that's for sure. Again, these are high school boys.
That's right. And speaking of the defense, you said that you wanted to talk to us about some defensive coverage. You had something to teach us, maybe.
Yes, I just think it'd be great radio. Sure. I was listening to the New Heights podcast, and maybe one or two of you listened to the new episode recently with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, man, like I'm fascinated by the whole thing, whether I like her or not. It fascinates
me. Between Taylor Swift and her boyfriend, Travis
Kelce. Football, entertainment, it's very polarizing. And during the podcast, she was saying that now that she started dating Travis, she learned a lot about football. It was a pretty funny 2 or 3 minutes. And she said, I know what cover 2 is, cover 4 is. And I said, well, if Taylor Swift can learn coverages, I can teach Lucas coverages.
Thank you. All right.
So real quick, Lucas, do you know what a safety is?
Yes.
Safety is the person in the back of the defense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when the quarterback comes to the line, his first job is to look and try and figure out how many people are playing safety. Mm-hmm. So all a coverage is, you say cover 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4. That's how many people are playing safety. Mm. All right. So simple enough.
Yeah.
So let's say we're in cover 2. Two safeties. Me and you are the safeties.
Okay.
So our job is to cover half the field each. Mm-hmm. Now that's a lot of field. So a smart quarterback, what he would do is he'd say, all right, Lucas is playing on the right side. I'm going to send someone straight down the field to his right, mm-hmm. and I'm going to send someone to the middle of the field to his left. So now you have a decision to make between the two people coming in two different directions at you. Mm-hmm. What a smart quarterback will do is he will look at one receiver, maybe the one on the right, and make you move towards that receiver, and then knowing that that guy in the middle is going to be wide open.
Mm. Perfect.
Cover 2.
And that's how I score a touchdown.
Well, you're in defense scenario.
You're the safety.
I would still get the touchdown. Yep. I would find some way to get my hands on the ball. No,
he's going to take credit for the assist.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's it. that was great, Matt. Yeah, that was very,
easy,
very helpful.
That's good.
Yep, and then it's cover 3 safeties. Yeah. They're going to try and attack you down the middle. So we can get out of here saying you learned something today.
Now, I did play Mike Ball in Fort Lawn for 1 year. I was a Tiger because you had the Tigers and the Lions. So I had to wear – that's good, Matt. So I had to wear orange, though, because it was like the Clemson Tigers. That was a little hard as a Gamecock fan. And so I played safety one time.
Okay.
And then I was on the line.
One time. One time. Didn't go well. Probably.
You were a lineman?
Then I was a lineman.
Oh.
In third grade.
Did you get a sack or a tackle?
I recovered a fumble.
Hey.
Did you get a yard?
I don't remember that, but I remember once you got if you scored or if you made a tackle or if you got a fumble, you had to put your hands up.
You did make a tackle?
Yeah. You had to put your hands up, and if you did, that means that's you got stickers on the back of your helmet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was big. What was the sticker? What was it of?
Like a star or tiger
paw. If Lucas had a top sports moment.
That was it.
I was going to say that was not running. It would be that fumble.
Would be it. That fumble.
Was that the end of your career?
That was it. We won the state champion or the district championship.
Okay.
I told my dad, we got a trophy and everything. It's still in my man cave. It's the one football trophy I have.
This was where?
Fort Lawn.
All right. We need to have a banner in here behind
you
that says Fort Lawn 19 whatever district champion.
Thanks, Matt. I'm going to show off my trophy.
Why'd you stop?
I went to my dad and said, I'm going out on top. I said, Dad, I'm not built for football. I literally physically am not built.
Right into the sunset.
And that's it.
There's John Elway and Lucas McFadden in the hierarchy Mount Rushmore of sports.
Matt,
you need to come on more often.
Matt.
I need to have you around more often. See, I'm lacking this on this show. I get no love.
Okay.
I just like hearing
that
about Lucas.
That is not true.
No, it's not. But I did play safety one time.
There you go.
Okay.
That's it. So now I'm ready to go.
Was it cover 1, 2, 3, or 4?
No, I don't remember.
That's why they moved you off safety.
They said, just go run and catch the ball. Got it.
A couple decades later, now you know how to play safety. You could go back and play with some of the Mike people.
Your mom just said that he skipped back to the huddle after recovering the fumble.
Me and Georgie Sweet.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's part of the charm. Go out on top. Went out as a champion.
It was probably that cool football skip, though.
Exactly.
I know what she's talking about. Football. She's not talking about Lulu skip to my Lulu. It's like, it was that cool football skip.
It's not
skip
like
they,
Dorothy skipping on the... Yeah, it was like a sprint
that,
skip.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Matt, great catching up with you. This is just a sample of what you're going to hear every Friday night with Matthew Cray. Listen to him. Matt, it's always great having you back in the studio.
Thanks, glad to be here.
We appreciate it.